Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Everyone say, I made it. I made it to the sanctuary. Where'd you make it to? You know, when you begin to read the Psalms and David, and he said, man, I was glad when the doors of the Lord opened. If I could just make it to the sanctuary, something can change in my life. Oh, if people would just get that understanding. Why? Because in the sanctuary, we carry the presence of God. Two or more gathered together. You know, you can get two or more gathered together, but when you get 10 or 20 or 30 more together, how much more? See, there's power in numbers. Everyone say power in numbers. Oh, if we could just make it to the sanctuary. That's all he kept saying in the Old Testament. Man, we got to get to the sanctuary. That's where everything's at. In the tabernacle, to the sanctuary. If people would fight to get to the sanctuary more than they would fight to cash their check, they'd be different. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody thinks that their answers are in money. The world thinks that way. My answer is how much money I have, who I know, this, that, whatever. It's who he is. See, the area of being reconnected all the time. See, one of the first things the enemy starts doing is compromise your desire to come to the sanctuary. Why? It's sanctified. It's set apart for him. When we gather together, it's what? Set apart for him. We come to honor him, not a man. We come to honor him. We don't come to honor anything else but him. That's why we come. If people could just grab hold of the importance of the fellowship, that's why the word says, forsake not to assemble. Now, of course, you better be careful where you assemble. Amen? Man, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. You can't do anything without God's presence. Nothing. Peace, joy, and righteousness of the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Jeremiah 17. Glory. Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah. Verse something. Did you get that? Verse 5. I mean, you know, when God speaks and when he asks, it becomes law. Anything he speaks is law. What's it say? Thus says the Lord, curses a man who trusts in himself. Actually, in this, he said, curses a man who trusts in not only himself, but trusts in the ways of the world. Amen? In the ways of the world. And makes his flesh his what? Strength. His heart has departed from the Lord. Whose heart's departed from the Lord? Why? Because if he's trusting in the ways of the world, trusting in himself and his own flesh and his strength, he has definitely departed from the Lord. There is a disconnect here. Verse 6. It says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, in other words, dry. And shall not see when good comes, because he's going to miss it. Every time God's trying to get him something, he's going to miss it. but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. That's pretty dry. Verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And will not, what? Fear. When heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Wow. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful. So now he's giving you the answer. He tells us, first of all, those who make a choice of putting their trust in the world, themselves, their flesh, they're going to be distant from God. But those who trust him will be close to him. And you know, again, I look at this in the area to where it's when we gather together. Man, there's a fresh anointing that comes out. There's new wine. There's fresh oil. There's such a refreshing when we come together. It's difficult to get it by yourself. We need one another, and that's how God created it. And don't get me wrong, listen, the Lord can show up at any time, right? Hallelujah. But he gives us enough to get by to make it to the sanctuary. Listen, you and I were born in a war. We are survivors of casualties of war. Because we've all been casualties out there. We are survivors of that. Not by anything we did, but everything he did. There's one thing we did. We accepted the rescue. We accepted it. Amen? He says here in verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things. Why? Because the heart is the core of all desire. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. He searches the what? He searches the core of our desires. I test the minds. Why? How does he test the mind? He tests what you've agreed with. So he's checking your desires and your agreements. Your desires and your what? Agreements. Even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. This is powerful. So what's he doing? He's testing our desires, our agreements, and hope to turn to everything to life. He wants to turn us to the pathway of life in everything we do. See, every turn you make is heading to life or to death. Every turn. We're to be turning everything to life. That's why we allow him to invade us. We allow him to take over. He wants to turn everything to life. See, now the world's view of life is abundance of finances. Able to do whatever they want to do. Party, whatever. Have all kinds of material. Oh, what a good life. For many of us, we've been there already. And it wasn't a good life. In fact, it wasn't life at all. It was nothing but torment. And the more people have in the world, the more they fear because they got to take care of it. They fear of losing it. It's a terrible life. And Matthew 4. To life. Simple. Everything that you and I are doing, God is trying to turn to life. Why? Because you're either turning to life or you're turning to death. Amen? turning to life, or turn to life, however you want to put it. And Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. Oh, hallelujah. Survivals. We are survivors. Survivors. And you made it to the sanctuary. You made it. You didn't make it home yet. But I can tell you, if you make it more here, you're going to make it home. Verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, that word means turn. What was he saying? Turn to life. Turn to life. Now you got to look at something, because when a person repents, what does it activate? The blood. The blood of Christ. So Jesus was trying to cleanse the earth by getting the whole world to repent and the whole world to turn to life from death so he could cleanse the earth. That was his mission. But not all the earth was going to accept it. Not everyone was going to accept it. So he went individually. Would you repent and turn? Turn from what? Turn from death to life. If you follow me, you're turning to life. If you don't follow me, you're turning to death. And I will wash you with the blood of the Lamb. And when I wash you with the blood, my spirit will have access to every part of you and this new life that I'm giving you. That's why we're going to see many things. There's going to be much bloodshed. Only Jesus' blood cleanses the earth. Only his blood. So even in the blood of the righteous, remember Abel's blood cried out. Abel was considered righteous. His blood was a part of cleansing. So many of those are being persecuted. Their blood is actually shed in cleansing. Most people don't look at it that way. That's why the Lord honors those who have been persecuted for his namesake, sacrificed, crucified, murdered. Their blood is the blood of righteousness now. We no longer carry the blood of corruption. We carry the blood of Christ. Why? Because we're a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Your flesh is still corrupt and never going to change. But it's been sanctified by the blood of Christ. Does everybody understand it? Your blood has been sanctified. That's why when the enemy puts sickness on you, you got to start rebuking it right away. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Everyone say, my blood has been cleansed. It's been sanctified by the blood of Christ. Again, in those days, people were in darkness. You know, they were under the shadow of death. Jesus came to turn them to life, turn them away. Well, one of the things that was happening also, he was getting their focus on the light and truth to penetrate the veil of deception in every person. Lies, bondage, resulting to death. He was trying to turn their heart to desire life and not death. Because see, even though that there were many people out there living what they call a good life, they didn't know that their desires were leading them to death. It was leading to emotional fulfillment. But they were only temporary. In Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Glory. In verse 21. Ezekiel 18, verse 21. So to have life, there's blessing, the life above. When we turn from the life of a cursed life, which is leading to death, amen, we turn to a life of blessing. Amen. Blessing is also the area where God is favoring you. He's with you. Ezekiel 18, verse 21, let's speak it. Oh, but if a wicked man turns from his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So when a wicked man turns, everyone say turn. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered. Wow. And it won't be against him, because the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Hallelujah. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord, and not that he should what? Turn. Everyone say turn. That's what repentance is. Because when a person, now there's a lot of people trying to turn without repentance. It doesn't work, because only the Spirit of God can give you the empowerment to live a life that's been sent from above. But when a righteous man, hallelujah, turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be what? Remembered. Everything is wiped away. Even all the treasures in heaven. Because righteousness is associated with storing treasures in heaven. They will not be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall what? He shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear, O house of Israel. Is it not my way which is fair and your way which is not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, committing iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and he turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live, and he shall what? Not die. So when a righteous man begins to commit iniquities and turns, amen, even though his righteousness that he's committed prior to that is no longer accountable to him. When a person turns to righteousness again, he is reconnected. How did he turn? By repentance. By repentance. By repentance. Repentance is a key. It should always be on the tip of your tongue. Forgive me. I repent. We should look for conviction. I've said this many times before. Am I doing what you want me to do? See, this is where the enemy comes in and sears consciences. The longer you agree with the enemy, the more he severs. He begins to harden the heart and turn those heart's desires to wickedness. It only takes one compromise to start the whole course of turning away. One compromise, that's all it takes. That's why it's so important of assembling. Because in that one compromise, in between assembling, the Holy Spirit gives an opportunity to access you in God's presence so that you can turn that compromise away. But if you hold on to that compromise, it will build to another one, and will build to another one. It will build to sin, transgression, and iniquity. And so the next thing you know, you are refusing to assemble. No way. I ain't going. I don't need that. All of a sudden, you're back in your flesh. You're trusting in yourself. And the only one that can store you is the Lord. He's the only one. And he starts it again by true repentance. You can repent and not be sorrowful. Amen? So we see the wicked and the righteous will all have an opportunity to turn and to live when taken captive by evil darkness. Let me explain another thing. The word turn is also escape. Amen? It's a way of escape. So we repent for sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And when we repent, we know that it activates the blood of Christ. And in his name, Jesus, allows his hand and his presence to come and work on our behalf. No matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, and no matter what problem you're in. Because we bring these problems on ourselves. Amen. I went astray. That's why I was what? Afflicted. I compromised something. That's why I was afflicted. See, much is given, much is required. Amen. So the simple thing to quickly do is repent. Why? Turn. Because when you turn, he makes the way of escape. But if you justify reason and try to jump around it, blame. No, we're accountable for everything we do. Nobody else is accountable. Even if somebody yells at you, curses you, you're still accountable for what you do. No one else. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So really, when a person rejects to assemble, one of the things that begin to replace humility is pride. I'm okay. Anytime we put anything first before assembling, me personally, I think it's offensive to God. I believe it becomes an idol. It's amazing how many people I've seen assembling, all of a sudden they have a new car now on Sunday, they're home washing it. Drive by them, I'm like, what the snap? Of course, I have strange thoughts when I go by there. Like maybe repainting on their car, repent, you know? But I can't do that no more. Not that I ever have, that I can remember anyways. Hallelujah. It wouldn't be repent if I was putting it on the car. That'll be true. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Let's be together. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But when most of them God was what? Not pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. And were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained. And were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the ages have what? Come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he what? Falls. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. I speak as wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. Powerful. So again, to turn, amen, is a way of escape. These individuals are rejecting the way of escape because they refuse to turn. And it brought them death. It brought them destruction. Again, many people try to turn without repentance. It doesn't work. All things will just, I'll use the scripture. All things work to the good, but I ain't going to repent. It ain't going to work. Many people use the scripture. All things are going to work to the good. Well, it takes your part of cooperation, or it's not going to work to the good. You can decree it all day long and still miss it. Again, I have to go back in the area of assembling. It still baffles me. Because we got baptized in the presence of God. Why would you not want to get back to the presence of God as much as you can? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God's presence isn't with you. Amen? But there's that special refreshing. It's like going to the gas station. You can't go any further if you run empty. Amen? And we are bombarded out there constantly. Everywhere you go, everything you see, everywhere you turn, you're bombarded. And you're being drained all the time. Especially in places where people work, some of those places are tough. But see, the sanctuary and assembling, it's safe. It's refreshing. It's renewing. It's reconnecting. It's empowering. You're eating. You're learning. You know, and everybody's going through stuff. We all go through stuff. But it's stuff. Amen? It isn't compared to what is awaiting us. And one of the things that begin to happen, remember, the first thing the enemy begins to compromise, if he can, to steal is your identity. People's identities are not maintained to the level it should be when they're refusing to assemble. Even when we go out of town or whatever and stuff like that, we assemble. Every time we go up north, man, we're assembling. In fact, I'm assembling every morning there. You know? And don't get me wrong. Please, you know, if you miss a day or of assembling, you know, of course we assemble multiple times a week. But I know that after I first got saved, I was at a morning prayer group every morning, every day, refreshing, worshiping. I realized, and you know what? More true revelation, because there's a lot of imitation revelation. More true revelation, because you're carrying the true, pure presence of God then. Things change. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4. Not only that, you get more empowered, and it's easier to say no to temptation. Now, there are some people that can come to the sanctuary all the time, but they come not willing to receive. They come as a duty. And they sing the words with no meaning. At least they're sowing. Hopefully they'll penetrate their hearts. But the words that come up here are penetrating. They should melt your heart. They should open you up and say, man, this is awesome. You're awesome. How could I not want to follow after you? How could I not want to serve you for what you've done for me? 1 Thessalonians 4, is everybody there? Good. We're going to start at verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. Just as you receive from us how you ought to walk into what? How you ought to walk into, please God. In other words, how you're to make decisions. Every decision is a point of turn. Every choice is a point of turn. Why? Because if you make the wrong decision that brings sin, brings the presence of evil, it's going to turn you. Does everybody get it? It's going to what? Turn you. So when you make the decisions that are pleasing to God, you're always turning to life. If you make decisions that are displeasing to God, you're turning to death. How we ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Your sanctification, your separation unto him, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Wow. Not in passion and lust, not like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one that helps you maintain a turned life. Amen. Without him, you and I can't do nothing. So we can invite him. I'm going to tell you, when you invite the Holy Spirit to fill you, dress you, and possess you, when you invite him, he's always guiding you into a place where there's a drink. There's a refreshing. No matter what it is, he's always guiding us to the truth. He's guiding us to a place where we will make a choice or a turn to life. He's the promoter of life. He brings life to me and you through the price of Jesus. He carries life. That's why he's called Holy Spirit. He is the breath of life that lives in me and you. And he's going to promote life all the time. 2 Corinthians 4. So we see here the ability to turn, the strength and the ability to turn is on the foundation of sanctification. Jesus Christ. So when you're on the foundation of sanctification, because you're separated, you're closer to him. you're quicker to respond to the things that are righteous. And you're quicker to reject to the things that are unrighteous or ungodly. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested where? In our bodies or temples. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are yours, are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't what? We don't lose heart. We don't quit. We don't give up. We repent. Amen? We repent. We turn. And we maintain the path that we turned on of life. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow. We're hard-pressed, we're attacked to turn back to the ways of the world, its desires, and its members of corruption and corruptible influence. It's amazing how many people turn back to secular music. And they believe they're okay. Well, it's only country music. It's only this music. It's only that music. What's the source of it? What's the root of it? Amen? We must be careful. We must use the wisdom that God has given us. You start compromising the music because that's one of the first things the enemy does. He also compromises with the cell phone. Google becomes God and everything else, you know. Luke chapter 9. Yeah, God spoke to me through Google. Repent. Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, things can happen where God can use the internet. Amen? But don't look for Jesus in Google. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Glory. Is everybody okay? Verse 23, then Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to what? Come after me. Now, let's go back to desire. Where is the core of all desires? Is in your heart. So he's saying, if anyone has a heart to come after me. He said, take up your cross daily. And what? Follow me. But you first must do something. Deny yourself. In other words, denying yourself means you must make it turn all the time to life. Deny yourself to death, make your turn to life. Make that turn all the time. And anything that's interfering with that turn, sin, transgression, iniquity, repent and put it under the blood. Amen? Repent and put it under the blood. Turn to life. Turn to life. The word says he came to bring us life and life abundantly. Then why should we turn away from it? In verse 24, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. You know, when somebody doesn't understand the ways of the Lord and they look at this, it's like, what the heck does this mean? If anyone desires to save his life, they're going to lose it. That's pretty intense. That means the life of the world, which is really not a life. It's a fake life. It's a deceptive life. If anyone wants to live the life of deception, you're going to die. But he says, whoever loses his life of deception, for my sake, will what? It's going to what? Save it. For what profit is a man who, if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's, and of all his Father's angels. But I tell you, truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. In other words, they won't realize that they're dead until they're home. There are many who won't even realize that they've passed until they're home. Does everybody get that? Check that out. Isn't it a wonderful way to go? Snap! I'm different. First thing you're going to realize is you don't miss home. And the presence of God is going to rip you apart anyways. And you're just going to be jumping for joy, doing backflips, all kinds of things. What? Then you can say, I made it. I made it. 1 John chapter 4. So again, I want to, before we go, lay down your life. It always starts with first laying down your life so that you can turn. Amen? That's where the word says we are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. That's a process. It's not a one-time event. 1 John chapter 4. Turning to life, or turn to life. There are many people who are fighting for their lives that have been plagued. Cancer, sickness, and so forth. They're fighting for their life. It's a tough circumstance where they're at. Because many of them are in a place where I don't know whether they should fight for their life or surrender it. Many of them are in a place where they don't know whether to go through chemotherapy or radiation or trust Jesus. Or they're trusting Jesus that as they're going through the radiation and chemotherapy. It's a tough circumstance for them. And only that individual can make that choice or that turn. Amen? Because sometimes many are turning. They believe to life, but they're actually promoting death. Amen? Because radiation is a killer. Chemo is a killer. So they're trying to kill the disease with something that's killing them. The side effects are tremendous. But again, it makes it a difficult circumstance to each and every one that's been plagued in some way or another. But that's where that individual must get into God's presence. That individual must assemble as much as possible so they can get the true answer that they know is correct. And you know what? If you're assembling enough, and again, don't get me wrong on this. Whatever you're going through, you're going to surrender to Jesus no matter what. You know? I can't imagine myself going through all of that stuff. I would say, take me home. In fact, I've been plagued already. And that was my request. Father, take me home or heal me. And in a dream, he came and healed me. There are many things that people have no idea until you get closer to him. Where all things are possible. All things are possible. But you can't have a long distance relationship and write him a letter. Because sometimes the mailman loses the letter. Or it could take a long time for you to get an answer. Amen. And even if you FedEx it, it ain't going to still be this. It's going to, you know, it's got to be right there close, man. Face to face. That's why he says, seek my face. Come and talk to me. Lay it before me. And trust me, and I will give you the answer. And don't get me wrong. There's times when God has told a person, take this medication. I kept refusing to go to the hospital. When I had pneumonia, I said, Lord, I'm trusting you, because he'd healed me so many other times. He said, guy, if you don't go to the hospital, you're going to die. Wait a minute. And then my wife said, I'm taking you. they brought me to the hospital, and they said, they rushed me right in right away. I said, within 2 more hours, I'd have been dead. I'd have been home. But it wasn't God's will. I don't know why he brought me there. And I don't know why. I guess I guess I had to experience something out of that whole circumstance there. But could he have healed me? Yes. But you know what brings healing? Obedience. See, we try all kinds of things. But in finality, when we hear what he says, that's what brings the healing. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Are we there yet? Verse 1. What does it say? Beloved, don't believe everyone that tells you everything. Beloved, do not believe what? Every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because you made the right turn. Because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. That causes you to make the right turn. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows us hears God. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we overcome, amen, to maintain the turn. You made the right turn. You want to stay on that turn. You maintain that place. You do whatever it takes. But again, to hear God, to know him, and to sense his unction, because sometimes he won't speak to you. He'll unction you. And you'll know which way to go. But without assembling, without being in the presence of God enough, you're not going to be sensitive enough. Hebrews 12. You know, the world is going to challenge you always. And if we continue in a place where we know we are walking in a dangerous place, God will challenge you. And he challenges you in the area to hope you are willing to make the turn. Amen. Turn from a life of death to a life of life, true life. In verse 1, Hebrews 12. Let's speak it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us. Now look at, are you going to be able to endure enough if you're not assembling enough? No. You will compromise something. That endurance become weaker and weaker. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor discourage when you are what? Rebuked. Rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he what? Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Why? Keep us on track. Amen. Because many, listen, when we first come to the Lord, man, we're carrying all kinds of stuff. I mean, some of us are carrying trailer loads of stuff. And it ain't going to all fit in the kingdom. Remember, the door is narrow. People are trying to come with their tractor trailers and get in. It ain't going to work. So in this, there's stuff that's got to be laid down. So as the process and the transition, things begin to happen, the conviction begins to come. You need to lay down all those pictures. You know, as the Lord was in the process with me, man, all of these pictures that I had of past life, he said, get rid of. All kinds of material, all kinds of things that were associated with the life of death had to be removed so I could access and maintain the life of Christ. So we started with the turn and said, I accept. In other words, okay, now he's saying, now you're supposed to lay down your life and I'll give you mine. But the moment you pick up your life, you exchange my life, he says. Amen? So in that, there's that area where he's going to chasten us to keep us in a place where we're willing to endure. He will challenge us to keep us online. He will even give us choices. Is this how you want to do it? Or are you going to let me do it? Remember, we're survivors of a casualty of war. There's still scars we carry. There's still hurts that are there. Amen? Some of these things will take time. You can forgive, but you haven't forgotten. Amen? There's places where trust is going to have to be earned by God. You got to get his trust. He's putting you through a process of earning his trust. Does everybody get this? Why? Because at one point, we turned. So he says, now I'm going to chasten you, I'm going to give you correction, and I want to strengthen you so that you're able to endure. Maintain the course. Enjoy the journey. Amen? Praise God. Let's go a little further. Hallelujah. In verse 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are legitimate, illegitimate, and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his what? Holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Therefore, afterward, It yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Wow. So chastening is training. Where people think that it's punishment. No, it's training. We are being trained. And the training doesn't stop. In Philippians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes things you'll find in your life that all of a sudden, no matter what you do, is not working. What the heck? Car's breaking down, faucet's leaking, this, that, whatever. Everything's going bad. Hallelujah. I surrender all. You know, you're trying to calculate and figure out. It's like, wait a minute, you know, Lord, I'm committing this to you. See, when all kinds of hell breaks out in your life, don't run. You can't be in all places at one time to try and do it. You have to step out of that puddle of affliction. Say, you know what? I'm committing it to you, Lord, because I can't do this. Because every time we try to fix something, we just make it worse. You know? So we have to commit it to him. And then what happens, one of the beautiful things is he puts it in order. See, the one thing that he'll do to give you, he'll show you what to fix. Okay, let's do this. And he always invites himself into it. He may tell you what, okay, I want you to do this, but he's inviting himself into it. And while you're doing the one thing, he begins to fix the other things. The things that you thought you had to go and fix eventually. It's all it took was that one turn. Okay, Lord, I'm stepping out of this and I'm turning this over to you. Now show me what I should do. As you're obedient with that one thing, he begins to fix everything else. And then in the process, he may bring you another thing. Amen? But don't go run to try and fix everything. Because you'll find your mind starts running towards this. When it ain't this at all. It's just the enemy with a push. Always step back and surrender. Come out of that puddle of self-affliction. Amen? And turn it over. Why? Because you made the turn. See, even turning it over is a process of the turn. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write some things to you is not tedious, but for your safe. Beware of what? Dogs. Now, again, these are not neighborhood dogs. We got this little chuchihuahua that thinks he owns the whole neighborhood. He's a character. He cracks me up, man. No matter where you come out of the car, and he attacks you, you know. And then once you're nice to him, he's fine. But I think the dog walks in fear like crazy, you know. Anyway. But he's not one of these dogs. Beware of dogs as individuals that are demonized, that are going to try to cause you to turn another way. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision of who worship God in spirit. Now, that alone ought to tell you. We are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. We are worshipers. We are gatherers together who love to assemble because we love his presence. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There's your answer. The more you assemble, the less you'll have confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Oh, he thought he was online. But he wasn't. Concerning a righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Oh, he obeyed the law, almost. He thought he did. But he forgot, thou shalt not kill. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for what? Loss for who? Christ, a new life. A new life. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Everyone say know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I press on, that I may lay hold of that which for Christ Jesus is also laid hold of me. 1 John chapter 2. What a price. You know, just to know it. Think about something. You're here, assembled. You know the truth. You know the truth. That is an awesome thing in itself. The terrible thing is not obeying the truth. Not practicing the truth. That's worse. Amen? That's worse. 1 John chapter 2. But thank God for his mercies and grace. As repentance activates the blood, gives us an opportunity to turn. First John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Hallelujah. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? It's passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. In other words, he's saying the world's passing away, and if you're associated with it, you're going to pass away with it. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. Try to turn you. But the anointing which we have received from him abides in you. And you do not need it anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So, when the enemy starts sending people to try to turn you, you need to turn them. Amen? That's your turn to turn them. And I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18. First John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not what? Does not turn to the life of death. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. Now that is so awesome. If you keep yourself on this path, the wicked one cannot touch you. Again, he can throw paper airplanes at you with messages and whatever. He can put signs in front of you and try to distract you, but he can't touch you. He cannot touch you. There's so many times people think that the enemy's touching them. But it's not true. So many times you may be struggling, devil's got a hold of me. Why? Because I'm struggling. Maybe you're being challenged. See, people don't realize that even in the challenge, it seems like a struggle. But you don't get stronger without a challenge. Everything that you and I go through is strengthening. Everything you and I go to can turn it to the good. Amen? Turn it from death to life. We can turn it all. Because he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. And the devil and the wicked one does not touch that person who keeps himself, who shuts all doors, stays sanctified, assembles. It's important. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols or open doors that will turn you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you not only for the warning, but the training and preparation. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Again, we repent for everything that we've agreed with, and every desire that has offended you. We ask that you continue to wash us with the blood of the Lamb, heal us with the stripes of Jesus, as we prepare ourselves for communion with you, in Jesus' name.